gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Life is good. Dreams do come true. I hardly ever say this on a Monday. I learned so many things this weekend, Chris.
What did you learn, Stephanie?
Well, Ron Paul fans like to use the C word.
I've noticed.
They did not care for my appearance yesterday on CNN at all. Matt, for instance, one of the first ones, Ron Paul can't win. We'll see about that, you
C word.
Now, go... Well,
go what?
Go suck up, you stupid bimbo. We'll decide who's president, not your boot-licking news cronies. Sincerely, he's sincere, Matt.
Oh.
Thank you, Matt.
Well, at least he's sincere.
Yikes.
Yeah, I got some of that shrapnel as well. I'm like, what the hell did she say? Good God.
Your BlackBerry starts blowing her up. Yeah. Now what did she do?
Oh, my God.
See, this is why I'm not invited on TV very often. But Howard Kurtz, I don't know. I was seeing reliable sources. It was just a festive weekend. I mean, where do we even start? Michelle Bachmann wins the Iowa straw poll.
Yay!
No! Which leads to the gayest picture in the history of photography.
There were a couple of them.
Confetti and Marcus Bachmann. He looks like he's doing, as I said on CNN yesterday, the opening number of La Cage aux Folles.
Yeah.
Or some show tune. Yes. Yes.
I'm super. Thanks for having me. All things considered, I couldn't be better. I'm a thing. I'm feeling super.
Something maybe from Gypsy.
Everything is super. Vineyard, don't you think I look cute in this hat?
Whee! He was, oh my God, confetti and literally like an Ethel Merman song or like another rope bang, another show. Just like some kind of, you know.
Or it looked like he was saying, mine is this big.
Yes. And then,
oh my God.
As if. So I'm on CNN talking about the crazy Newsweek cover of Michelle Bachmann. And then speaking, I mean, if they had really wanted to go with an unflattering photo, have you seen them? Have we put this up on our Facebook page?
It's up on your Facebook page.
It's Michelle Bachmann shoving a giant Iowa corn dog in her mouth. And, wow. Seems like she hasn't had that in a while.
Yeah.
And then I actually sent that to a bunch of people yesterday, and I said the only way this would be better if there was a picture of Marcus Bachmann doing this. And then...
Ka-ching!
Marcus Bachmann shoving a giant corn dog in his mouth. Although he looks like he doesn't like it, like he needs some therapy. He's squinching his face, and he's using teeth.
He's using teeth, which is never good.
Yeah, that's not good. That's going to leave a mark on that giant corn dog there. So that... I literally had to check. I was like, Chris, are these photoshopped? You're like, no.
Looks like he's getting hit in the face with something. That's what that expression on his face looks like.
Well, he doesn't. He's trying to pray it away.
Sure.
He's trying to pray the corn dog. Yeah, because it's attacking him in some untoward way. All right, so
all three of those pictures are up on your Facebook page, by the way. So head on over and make a comment if you like.
And you know what I sense there was rehearsal at home, because there was a good chance she was going to win, obviously.
Yeah.
Is I think they rehearsed I know you, like they have rehearsed movements that would look less gay. Do you know what I mean? And then somehow, I don't know if she turned around, but she's Marcus! No!
Yes. It was the excitement of the moment, and it just, it just came out.
Exactly. He just, because he has one hand up, like, they really are. If you've seen, will tell me which number I'm talking about.
It's like the poster you see from Gypsy, where
Mama Rose
has her hands.
Yes. Because everything was coming up roses in Iowa over the weekend. So.
He had jazz hands.
Yeah, he did. He had jazz hands and spirit fingers. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He shoved the giant footlong in his mouth.
You can pray the gay out of the guy, but you can't.
No. So it was a what did I get? I got top 10 what from Mediaite?
No. You were in the top 7 best moments from this weekend's news shows.
Oh, awesome!
In the Daily Beast.
Oh, and it was the moment I said what? Who can remember?
Oh, it was the moment you said, oh God!
I don't know.
Yeah.
That it's not the news we cover that makes her look crazy. It's the thing she says that makes her look crazy. Christ.
People thought that that was very deep, apparently.
I am. I'm very deep.
And then you made a...
The Ron Paul fans?
Penis says no.
And then you made a penis joke. So, yeah.
I don't think that I made... No, I did not.
Well, you said something gay about Marcus.
Well, it was just a little... I said he was very excited. Hmm. It was hard to... I was saying I was already missing the electricity of the Tim Pawlenty campaign.
Oh,
it was
boy.
A white, hot electric energy. That
there was a lot of news this weekend.
It was emanating from the Teapaw clan.
I can't believe he wanted people to call him that.
Anyway, so, yeah, Tim, a lot of breaking news left and right over the weekend. Teapaw is out. Bat 1.
Well, why does anybody give any credence whatsoever to this Iowa straw poll?
I don't know. That's what I was saying on TV. I'm like, the person
right.
wins never wins anyway. And I just said that's the only thing Donald Trump's ever been right about is that Ron Paul is unelectable.
Well,
and he's unelectable mostly because he's too reasonable on many issues for Republicans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They pretend he's not even there.
But then he gets all racist bat crap on you.
Yes, a little bit. A little bit.
Oh, boy. Yes. Here come the cards and letters for me.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
As if I haven't done enough damage. And that was only my fright. You know, I knew, I was thinking, I had BlackBerry next to me, CNN, like, you know, because I just unvibrated.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I just started going, zzz, zzz, zzz. Like,
for every email you got?
Which thing? And I'm going, I'm going to guess it's the Ron Paul thing that I said. I'm not sure which thing I said is causing this, but yeah.
But the Iowa straw poll is nothing more than a fundraiser for the GOP, because everybody who voted had to pay $30.
Yeah.
And so... That's not an indication of what people want. It's an indication of how much people paid in order to get your vote.
Well, and always the crazy right-wing bat, you know, wins the Iowa thing. So, obviously, Michelle Bachmann, surge of support, social conservatives claim victory at the Ames GOP straw poll, narrowly edging out Ron Paul.
The unelectable Ron Paul?
You asked me if I check my Twitter. I don't check my Twitter.
No.
I can only I don't know from my email.
That's how,
I'm not going asking for it.
That's
I've got enough C words just in my inbox today.
That's how I kind of found out what you said.
Hmm.
I saw your Twitter fam.
Oh, good Lord.
Okay.
Oh, dear. She said, you have just sent a message that Barack Obama will be a one-term president. Okay, this was a wonderful down payment on taking the country back. Tim Pawlenty, of course, came in a distant third in a statement issued immediately after the results were announced. Pawlenty said the campaign was just beginning.
Oh.
This is what he said right after the... All right, that's it. You know, you always know that's a blowup.
Yeah.
All right. So, by the way, and then the other big story is Rick Perry. That was the other picture, disturbing picture from the weekend. I said it to someone else over the weekend, and then I got a million of these emails with this picture of him. He looks like the devil. He does.
Oh, yeah.
He looks like Al Pacino playing the devil in that movie.
Well, you know...
El Diablo.
El Diablo?
El Diablo.
In, Damien Part 3, Omen Part 3, I think Damien ran for president. And it kind... Sam Neill actually played Damien in that one. And Sam Neill looks like Rick Perry in that picture.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Do you have my Detroit thing ready? Because I listened Saturday, the big show. Sharon writes, Steph, CNN just hinted a possible Rick Perry, Sarah Palin ticket. Yeah. Gack. Gack away.
Mm.
Can you think of anything more scary?
Confused says
no. Can't wait to see you in Detroit. I'll be the drunk MILF celebrating my 50th birthday. Me too. I will be the drunk MILF. I'll start this Saturday because, you know, Aisha Tyler can pound him back.
Yeah.
So we're coming Saturday, Detroit. Look out.
Start your engines, Detroit, because the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is cruising your way.
Take him to Detroit.
These progressive pistons are firing on all cylinders, and they're born, bred, and made in the USA.
Can't forget the Motor City.
On August 20th at the Detroit Opera House, John Fugelsang, Aisha Tyler, and Motor City's favorite cougar, Stephanie Miller, will spark up your night and heal you with their full torque progressive power. Tickets are available at motopera.org and ticketmaster.com. To call for tickets, dial 313-237-SING. That's 313-237-SING. Score your VIP tickets early for the best seats to witness Mama model her tight, sexy tee.
I want to get back to Michigan and I want to try.
That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show. Detroit, you just can't afford to miss this.
Yeah, Aisha Tyler and I are the kids that would have been separated in class. He was sexy liberal to the antithesis of that. Because every time she's on here, mm-hmm. we get her on Newsbusters, and then we get enough trouble just on our own, and then together it's really... And then you throw John Fugelsang in the mix, and it's really anything can happen.
It's toxic,
all right.
If you will.
Exactly. Adam and and John Fugelsang will take a picture of it.
Yeah.
Adam and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Good morning.
Morning. I just wanted to clarify that what the Bachmans were eating in those pictures was the new delicacy at the Iowa Fair there, which was sticks of butter deep fried and then put on a stick. So what Marcus Bachman was reacting to was hot melted butter exploding into his mouth when he took that first bite.
Okay. Why do I feel like we're going to have to build a bigger penalty box this morning? I think it was a sausage of some kind, wasn't it?
Sure.
Yes, I don't think it was.
It was long and firm and hot.
What?
It can only build so quickly. All right, 17 minutes after the hour. Just it writes itself this morning.
It does.
And we have Eric Bollard, the Rude Pundit, and of course Edie McClurg coming up. It's a festive Monday show as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. All right, Ron Paul fans, get it out of your system.
Oh, yeah.
I said on CNN yesterday morning he's unelectable, but okay, go ahead.
Will Romney tweeted you, when Ron Paul is elected, I'm going to send you a VHS recording, because you're old, of you saying he's unelectable.
All right, okay. Everybody get out of your system. A lot of people wishing me to suck on a lot of things.
Sure.
In regards to this, I don't... I saw your ignorant rant. Actually, it wasn't a rant. Someone said, why don't you, for instance, list the things you're for and against it, Ron Paul? Why don't you make your case? Because it's CNN. I have 4 seconds. I can, against war? Yes. I agree with that. Yes.
Separate lunch counters for black and white?
No.
It says no.
No. Lots of things. Ron Paul's been on this show. I like Ron Paul.
Yes.
Lots of things he said. You're like, yes.
Computer says yes.
Yes. Wow.
Computer says no.
What was that he just said? No.
He's one of the two presidential candidates who have been on this show.
Who was the other? Oh, John Kerry.
No. Dennis Kucinich.
Oh. Well, I mean, last time.
Well.
Okay.
Well, I mean, as they were running.
Faith writes, I saw your ignorant rant against Ron Paul. You're a pathetic, not only that, you're wrong. In a recent poll among Texas Republicans, Ron Paul outpolled Rick Perry, so suck on that, you idiot.
Oh.
Well, all right, I guess I will. I'd rather have a big old corn dog from the Iowa Fair, but... Nah.
You're an exploding stick of butter.
Oof. Jenny in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Jenny.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I wanted to make Michelle Bachman's head just explode if I could, but
okay.
I went to the Civil Union this weekend.
Oh!
It was a wonderful thing. We met the guys 8 years ago. We actually bought their house from them, and I know it's not a way to become friends, but we did. And they were together. This will be 26 years that they've been together. They've adopted two beautiful kids. And Governor Quinn passed the law in June, and so they had their civil union on Saturday, and it was wonderful. They've always had a lot of support from the straight community. You know, I mean, I've got a lot of gay friends, but I was engaged to a guy that turned out to be gay, but
yes.
I've never seen anybody have the support that these guys do.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like, you know, there's so much comedy with the Bachmans, but I mean, she already came out and said she would literally, repeal, reinstate, don't ask, don't tell. I mean, it's just, you know, the whole thing is, besides the fact that her husband is gay.
Okay.
Yes.
By the way,
we
had Governor Bill Richardson on while he was running.
Indeed,
so
we also did.
There we go.
Yes. All right.
Okay. I regret the error.
The Stephanie Miller Show regrets the error that is Chris Lavoie.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. Here is a bad... now in Iowa?
The very first step towards taking the White House in 2012, if you have just sent a message that Barack Obama will be
Oh, yay! That takes some chutzpah. Now, by the way, we have to get our buddy Don Lemon on, or excuse me, Don Lemon from CNN.
John Lemon?
What? No,
that'll be a booking.
That's a booking.
That's a coup.
Oh, I'm really drunk still. Okay, so, yeah, CNN's Don Lemon.
Yeah.
Marcus Bachmann elbowed him into a golf cart in Iowa. The story is hilarious. I'm just saying, why is it the one gay guy? Are they a little touchy about the gays? Maybe he was trying to discipline the barbarian. Maybe that's what he was doing. Maybe he sees Don Lemon as a barbarian. Maybe that was his form of discipline.
Oh.
Yeah, this is in the strangest story of the Ames straw poll. It seems to have happened long before the poll itself. CNN anchor Don Lemon reported a very disturbing incident with Representative Michelle Bachmann, who he claimed had security and even her husband Marcus pushed and shoved him into a golf cart. He was, well, in his defense, he was probably between Marcus and the ball washer. And Marcus was trying to get to the ball washer.
Or a corn dog.
Uh-huh. So, where's the story here? Okay. While the cameraman got lost in the crowd, the audio depicts an agitated Lemon asking seemingly harmless questions like, where do you think you'll end up in the straw poll? He certainly wasn't making Lakaja Faux jokes like I was on CNN.
Full and faux are two different things.
Everyone knows my pronunciation is Les Miserables.
Bleh.
Okay. Lemon noted that Representative Bachmann was supposed to give a speech, as many other candidates were at 5, but showed up at 5:30, talked for 5 minutes and left. Lemon and his team followed, but found themselves in a troublesome situation. I asked her very respectful questions about her performance last night. Where does she think she's going to up in the straw poll? And her two campaign aides started elbowing me and pushed me through the crowd. Her husband Marcus did the same thing, even pushed me, elbowed me into a golf cart where I hit my head and it caused a bunch of people to spill things.
Yeah.
According to a CNN report, Bachmann's press secretary said it was just too crowded. So, when it's too crowded, what do? Chris, you push the gay into a golf cart.
I mean, they were respectful questions. It wasn't like Don was asking, is Marcus gay or anything?
Well, exactly. Anyway.
For asking how he enjoyed that corn dog.
Yes, exactly. they said it was just too crowded. They were only looking out for the congresswoman's safety. It also notes that Marcus Bachmann apparently told Lemon, you did it yourself. protested being tossed into the golf
yourself?
Cart.
Why are you hitting yourself?
Why are you hitting yourself? Stop hitting yourself, Don Lemon.
Stop hurling yourself into that golf cart.
All right. Don't flail your wrist like that when you hit yourself, because it makes it look gay. Okay, that story is just weird.
Can I just say that Don Lemon is a hell of a lot more straight acting than Marcus Bachmann? I just want to put that out
ironically.
There.
Okay. All right. This is just, this is big fun this weekend. Just big fun everywhere. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I have passed some line someplace. I am beginning to repel people. I'm trying to seduce.
I guess like Ron Paul fans.
Yeah.
All right, 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll-free from anywhere to join the party. Let's talk about the shenanigans of the weekend. Where do we even start?
Shenanigans.
It's, okay, let's review what we have learned. Ron Paul fans like to use the C word.
Yep.
Particularly regarding me.
Yep.
They're helpful.
They like you to suck on something,
yes,
too.
Yes, they have a lot of suggestions on different things that I could suck on, presumably. They're also very literal. Daniel writes, saw you on CNN, wanted you to know that Ron Paul is not invisible. Okay. Good to know, Dan.
Thank you for that. Did we?
Dan, that is what's commonly known as a joke. I am aware that Ron Paul is not invisible. Thank you, though. See, they're helpful. They're a helpful bunch.
Sure.
What I said was Rick Santorum in the Republican debate broke the golden rule of Republican debates, and that is pretending that Ron Paul is invisible. See, that's what commonly is known as sort of like, it's a little, not a lot. I grant you the little humor.
You didn't
regarding them.
No, but you
didn't. I don't literally think Ron Paul is invisible. My point was missed, apparently, by Daniel.
They're not too bright, are they?
I don't know. I don't.
Paulie stars.
I don't know. Okay, they're like a coffee barista, but a Paulisto.
Paulisto.
Yeah,
yes.
Sure. Mm-hmm. All right. Oh dear. Why did Julie have to do this to me today? This is frightening. She people are, because I also said on CNN about Rick Perry. I'm like, yes, an arrogant Texas governor who thinks God wants him to be president. How could that ever go wrong? She has melded the. We'll have to put that picture up. The people have melded the George Bush and Rick Perry into one being. A portrait of the ultimate GOP horror from the internets. Hey, Mama and Chris, so we have referred to her as a bat crazy for years. Now barely best the Republican fringy McFringerson Ron Paul to take the corn poll in Iowa. But it's not enough for today's GOP teabagger cult. Here you go, America. Twin brothers crapped out for hatching on the same rock in the late Texas sun. If Mitt is human clip art, surely Rick is human cartoon. Mama, can you imagine what your father in Goldwater would think of Bachman, Perry, and Ron Paul are sitting in the front seat of the insane clown car? Speaking of the insane clown car, it's just beyond stinky after this weekend. Let's hope nobody lights a cigarette. Yeah, that.
Yeah,
you know. Sweet. Yeah, it's like a car full of smoke and Aquanet, and I don't. You don't even.
It's like a Pinto.
And a Pinto, and yeah. Here she is. Okay.
We'll go to all 50 states and campaign because we do intend to make Barack Obama a one-term president. This was the down payment. There's a long way to go, and we need a lot of help, and we'll keep working, and we'll get her done.
Get her done! Woo! Doggy!
She is
Can
not...
I just say, what a bunch of yahoos in the Republican field so far. If I have to see that picture of Rick Perry shooting a gun in the air one more time, because that's wise...
I don't think get her done is a common phrase in the suburbs of Minneapolis, where she's from.
Yeah. Get her done. Oh, boy. You know, that's what's, speaking of terrifying, that Matt Taibbi piece about how she really could be president. Because when I'm like, are we really that much of a TV age? Because every time I see her, Chris, I think, well, she sure is pretty. She is telegenic.
Yeah, she photographs well. Sometimes.
As I said on CNN yesterday, it's not the picture that makes her look crazy. It's the things she says that make her look completely
Also the things she eats.
Well, and the way she eats them. Hello.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's almost like she hasn't seen something like that. She just looked hungry for something
famished.
Of that nature. Yeah. So it was... that's what I said, though. I was talking, I said, like, stupid liberal cameras. I just don't get how that was sexist. I was saying they take unflattering pictures of every candidate. They do those extreme close-ups of everybody.
I mean,
who needs to see Newt Gingrich's nose hair? I'm just saying, how is it sexist that they used?
Have you seen some of the unflattering pictures that have been taken of President Obama? Holy cow.
By the way, someone sent me, like, I don't know, 20 pictures of Michelle Obama. They're like, in which one of these pictures doesn't she look crazy? I mean, it must have been hard, honestly.
Michelle Obama or Michelle Bachman?
Bachman.
You said Obama.
I misspoke.
Okay. I just wanted to clear that up.
All right. So, anyway, as I said, it's hard to soldier on today, isn't it? What with the sizzling electricity of the, Tim Pawlenty campaign being...
Bless his heart.
Gone. Oh, bless his heart. Tim Pawlenty.
We needed to get some lift to continue on and to have a pathway forward. That didn't happen, so I'm announcing this morning on your show that I'm going to be ending my campaign for president. I'm very, very grateful for the people of Iowa, the people of this country who I had a chance to make my case to, and for my supporters and staff and friends who've been so loyal and helpful. I really appreciate all of them. I wish it would have been different, but obviously the pathway forward for me doesn't really exist, and so we're going to end the campaign.
He said, what I brought forward, I thought, was a rational, established, credible... You see, that's your problem. Right away, right out of the gate in Iowa. No.
Computer says no.
They need a little crazy and a little thistle.
Yeah.
A rational, established, credible, strong record of results based on experience governing a two-term governor of a blue state. But I think the audience, so to speak, was looking for something different.
It just meant he didn't bus in enough people. That's all the Iowa straw poll is.
You know, I believe, because, as you know, things our friend Aisha Tyler says, they stick in your head and then sometimes end up on T-shirts. But I think when she was discussing Tea Party candidates in general, it's like, you know, there are people that, you know, they're eating the good, healthy, you know, turkey sandwich that's getting the job done. And in Iowa, it's like they're like, how about a ham sandwich with a finger in it? And in Iowa, they're like,
that's it.
Oh, my God, that is exciting. Oh, it's pretty and exciting. And it's, no, it's a ham sandwich. And that's what happens. And then America goes, oh, my God, it's a ham sandwich with a finger in it. For instance, as we delve more into Michelle Bachmann's past, her 2002 movie Guinea Pig Kids 2.
Yeah, the sequel.
She's a filmmaker. Two. Who knew there was a one?
Two.
Compares public schools to concentration camps.
Oh, really? In what way?
Back in there's just such a long history of crazy. Where do you even start? Back in 2002, when she was making a name for herself as an education activist. With the Maple River Education Coalition, she collaborated with a man called Michael Chapman to make a film called Guinea Pig Kids 2. At the time, it sounds like something that Rick Moranis would be in, but I don't think so.
Honey, I Shrunk the Guinea Pigs 2?
Yes. At the time, Chapman, described in this document as a historian and education researcher, please and thank you, had warned that the state and federal education reforms were putting the United States on the path to its very own Holocaust, turning impressionable school children into global citizens. At one point in the film, Chapman asked viewers the following: have we evolved beyond the capacity of repeating the atrocities of the past before launching into a narrative about Nazi concentration camps? Huh? So, beyond that sort of really bad analogies game is the fact that Bachmann believes the U.S. should look to Christian documents and God's will when it comes to everything from our children's education to laws concerning civil liberties. And so, that's...
Oh, my God.
She wants us to be a Christian nation.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, gotcha. Indeed. Indeed. Okay.
Great. Where does that leave the rest of us?
I don't... Well, you're obviously SOL.
I'm a heathen.
Atheist boy.
I need to move to Russia.
All right. Governor Goodhair. He's going to have a Governor Goodhair off with Mitt Romney, isn't he?
Hmm.
I don't get how you don't get to play in Iowa. So Mitt Romney just said, I'm not playing.
What?
So he just didn't participate in Iowa.
Well, the straw poll is absolutely meaningless.
I know. I don't.
So, yeah, he could choose not to play. Yeah. I mean, nobody recently has won the presidency that's won the Iowa straw poll. So
that's what I said on CNN. Yeah. Everybody went crazy. I'm like, it doesn't matter. No one that wins never wins the presidency. Why are we pretending it's a big deal?
But it is a GOP's wet dream because you have to pay $30 in order to vote.
Yeah.
That they would love that.
Yeah. At any rate, now we're, I don't know, we're back in the race. Mitt Romney, I mean, guess they're saying Rick Perry could overtake Mr. Corporations or People.
Mm-hmm.
Mitt Romney. Mike and Raleigh with a little bit on.
We have to make sure that the promises we make in Social Security, Medicaid, and Medicare are promises we can keep. And there are various ways of doing that. One is we can raise taxes on people.
People.
That's it. Corporations are people, my friend.
Corporations are people.
We can raise taxes on... Of course they are.
They're the wealthiest people.
Everything corporations earn ultimately goes to people.
In the world.
Aw, thank you, Mike and Raleigh. That's touching. Here's something that's not touching. Only 34% of Americans could find $1,000 in their savings accounts.
Yeah, that's
just
scary.
Play contrast and compare with corporations. When asked where they would turn if they needed $1,000 in cash, only 34% of Americans would look to their savings accounts. Other 64% would be forced to go elsewhere, from taking out a loan to borrowing from a family member. In a study released in June, they report 24% of the nation has access to 6 months of emergency savings, the majority of whom come from high-income households. In contrast, corporations today sitting on close to $1.12 trillion in cash, a 59% increase from 2008. Those people are doing very well.
Wow, that's...
The people that are corporations.
That's some scary-ass stuff.
Seem to be doing fine. All right, so lots to get to. There actually, there's a piece today, because, we've had David... We're going to have David Bender on again tomorrow, obviously. Thursday.
Mm-hmm. He might call in tomorrow, who can say?
He could just be listening now.
Yeah.
He might call in. He might hear this.
We dare you to call, David.
Bender, call the bat phone. Anyway, but there's a piece about how we should be rooting for Rick Perry because Romney is actually more electable against Obama. So we will parse all that and Rick Perry's entry into the race as we continue 45 minutes after the hour. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
They degrade women and beavers.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 49 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Oh, a big, big weekend. What?
What?
I said it was a big weekend.
Yes, I know.
Michelle Bachmann won the Iowa corn pone poll, whatever. Yay.
Yeah.
Which led to, as I said, the gayest picture in the history of photography.
Yay!
Her husband, we don't really know whether he's, what's the song, what, another opening, another show, I don't know what that's from. It's either that, it's something from Gypsy, it's some sort of Ethel Merman number, or it's from La Caja Phil.
Full.
Oh, baby, I am what I am. That's what it looks like. He's singing the opening. And there's confetti, and it's, oh my gosh.
There's
and
a
then,
lot of confetti.
Yes, and then there's he's shoving a giant corn dog in his mouth.
In his maw.
In his gaping maw.
Yeah.
All right. So
actually, he's biting down on it.
Mm-hmm. He's using teeth. Well, he's, yeah. And he looks. He's trying to pray it away from his face. Cause
sure.
It's, yeah.
Because it's. Yeah.
Mm. Maybe he spent the weekend disciplining himself for being a barbarian. Is all I'm saying. I don't know.
We have to understand. Barbarians need to be educated. They need to be disciplined.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then the other big news, of course, Governor Rick Perry got into the race.
It is time to get America working again, and that's why, with the support of my family and unwavering belief in the goodness of America, I declare to you today as a candidate for president of the United States.
Oh, boy, and you get a minimum wage job, and you get a minimum wage job. Yeah, this is the thing we're going. One of his favorite topics is, of course, Texas job creation.
Mm.
Even though between 2008 and 2010, jobs actually grew at a faster pace in Massachusetts than Texas, and Texas has done worse than the rest of the country since the peak of national unemployment in October 2009. I love this. He did a recent interview with the Daily Beast. He said he didn't believe that any jobs were saved by the government's rescue of the American auto industry. How do you figure that? He also believes, by the way, that Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid are unconstitutional Ponzi schemes.
Oh, good luck getting rid of those then.
Yeah.
So, and then getting reelected.
This is how bad the Republican field is that people are just like, oh, he's the new bold, refreshing, courageous. Okay, this guy is the one. Yeah, he has the highest percentage of minimum wage jobs in the country. And, you know, as we were saying, who was it, Jan from Amherst said, yeah, you got a problem there, Stephanie. Unemployment's like 6%. Texas, which is...
It's just...
Computer says
very
untrue. It'd be 8.2 or 8.3.
Yeah.
But, anyway.
It's 2.2% wrong,
yes.
His statement.
Yes. Yes, indeed. All right.
America is not broken. Washington, D.C. is broken. We cannot afford 4 more years of this rudderless leadership.
Oh, God. Okay. Blake in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Blake.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Do you think Marcus Bachmann wishes all that confetti with glitter?
I think...
Looks like he's going, glitter!
I think he does. I think he wishes. It was like that scene in that Mariah Carey movie, that awful movie with all the glitter.
Oh, my God. I can't stop laughing.
Yeah.
Have a good day.
All right. You too. And I think he wishes he was on roller skates in Xanadu. That's what I think.
You know what it looks like? Looks like he's dancing on stage at the Moulin Rouge in that movie with Nicole Kidman. Because we
can. That could be. It could
because
be.
Because we can.
Or it could be Gitchy Gitchy Yeah Yeah. It's, you know.
Sure.
Okay. Governor.
I intend to compete for every vote in every state. This isn't
Except
a strategy
Iowa.
Just to go
Except
work
Iowa.
In a few places. We're going to be all across this country.
Yeah, he's got some making up to do to the crazies in Iowa, because he skipped that. Yeah, so far, I just love how much everyone hates everyone in the Republican race.
That's nice. I love that a lot.
Pelosi and Bachman hate each other. Everyone hates Mitt Romney. Everybody's, and Rick Perry, of course, big-thirding through the Iowa thing, stealing Bachman's thunder. And then Sarah Palin, in the middle of all of it, just still, they all hate each other so much. So this was the story I was looking at. Why Democrats should offer Rick Perry a warm welcome into the presidential race.
This was interesting.
Because this is the, you always hear like, oh, this is the one to be terrified of. Remember, like Chris Christie. Bold, refreshing, courageous.
Crazy.
There! I said it and I did not vaporize into the company. There! Boom! There goes Medicare, Social Security, unions. Boom! There, I said it. I said we light the old people all on fire. Boom! Yeah, and then as I pointed out actually yesterday on TV, Barack Obama, he loses to Obama in his home state.
Yeah.
It's these, you know, it's a media storyline, like, oh, who's the next big thing? Anyway, so...
Aren't you a part of the media?
Apparently I am when I stumble onto CNN by accident, and I'm blamed for all the ills of the media.
You're drunkenly stumbling
I'm
down Sunset,
the
and you just happen into the studio, yeah.
One thing I'm noticing when I'm on in the morning, I am actually not drunk. So maybe it's better for me to do the evening shows because then I seem to make a little more sense.
What? Liquor helps to lubricate the wires around in your brain?
I'm not used to being. I was a little blinky, a little. What time is this, Howard? Okay. Okay, the fun facts from, where is this? Oh, Mediaite.com.
Mm-hmm.
Why Rick Perry entering the race is good news for anyone cheering for the re-election of Barack Obama. He's probably the only candidate who can beat Mitt Romney, and Romney may be the only candidate who can beat Obama. See, people who do this for a living and look at all the states and all the, you know, the 538.coms and the...
David Benders.
Yes, and the Cook... You know what I mean? Like,
right.
They have a, more of a... But it makes some sense what they're saying. The Republican primary process, different than ours, than the Democratic. You remember that went on forever and ever.
Right.
It's generally viewed as being far more tightly controlled than the Democratic one. The establishment, quote-unquote, candidate is almost always the one who wins the nomination.
Yeah.
And they all hate their candidate, like
That's
John
right.
McCain. Yeah. The calculus that Romney is the strongest of the current pool of candidates without Perry against Obama is probably correct, this according to the Mediaite story. Because it all comes down to, you know, like a lot of it, you know which states the president's going to win, the South is going to go to whoever the Republican is. The battlegrounds will be many of the same we've seen before, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Florida, Nevada, Michigan, North Carolina. This is where Romney has a steep advantage over Perry. In the battleground states, Perry has not much. Texas cheerleading aside, his newly pronounced opposition to Medicare and Social Security won't help him much with older voters, and the ongoing debate over the execution of Cameron Todd Willingham is unlikely to die down.
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole oops, we killed the wrong guy, oh well thing. So that's the Mediaite analysis. I'm always so torn between what to root for comedy and what to root for the country. Conda in Alabama on Romney. Hey, Conda, welcome.
Hello. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
I just wanted to say I just take absolute issue with anybody who says that anyone in the Republican field as it stands today can beat President Obama. I mean, look at what they have. Michelle Bachman, absolutely insane. Hermie Cain, no comment, he's laughable. Santorum, no comment, he's not even significant.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. Rick, low-wage job hearing.
This is like talking
and
to Max Headroom.
Capital Mitt Romney. Come on now.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's the thing is, you know, they always, this is the calculus they use with McCain. Like, oh, he's the safest, this, you know, he can get the independent, yada, yada, blah, whatever. And the other thing, by the way, that is being rumored a lot is Marco Rubio for VP. And I'm sorry, the Republicans are so, like, literally, John McCain, you know, oh, you have a woman? Look, we have a woman.
Yeah.
You know, Michael Steele at the RNs. Look, we got a black guy. And now it's like, oh, look, we're for Hispanics. They're not on any issue. All right, 58 minutes after the hour, back with Eric Bollert and Right Wing World as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm walking on the side.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. StephanieMiller.com. We have the corn dog pictures up.
Oh,
yeah. The Bachman hardcore porn.
Yeah, Bachman corn dog overdrive.
Yeah.
I was appalled and disgusted and kind of turned on by Michelle Bachman filleting a corn
dog.
I thought
you might like it.
And I think Marcus was demonstrating his degang technique.
Oh, really?
He was biting into the tip of the dog.
Yeah, you got to cut the head off the snake sometimes.
Well, he's, you know.
Gay snake. Okay. All right. Thank
corn
you.
Corn dog was apparently a barbarian.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you discipline barbarians.
Sure.
You bite them in the corn dog.
Sure. Okay. SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. Detroit, ladies and gentlemen, coming up this Saturday. Tickets going fast. Go to SexyLiberal.com for tickets to the Sexy Liberal Show in Detroit. All right. And and the hate mail parade continues. Ken writes, this is what I learned, Jim, over the weekend. Ron Paul fans like to use the C word, particularly about me, and also suggest various things that I might want to suck.
I've also found out that they don't like to be called Paul bots.
No.
No, they hate being called Paul bots.
Ken writes, congratulations on announcing to the world via CNN you've lost a major portion of your brain. You say Paul is unelectable, blah, blah.
Well,
why do I have to explain this to a grown-up? He is electable. Who's as stupid as Donald Trump? Stephanie Miller. You're stupid.
I think you have to have a split personality to vote for Ron Paul, because he says things that make incredible sense. Like, I loved when he was giving Santorum a history lesson on Iran.
Yes.
And then some things are just bat bleep crazy.
Yes.
Right wing.
And this now, it's really gone too far. Peter has criticized my jewelry.
What?
I was wearing my peace earrings. He said, if you really want peace, vote for Paul. Otherwise, take the peace earrings off and put some wall on some Wall Street ones. Oh, well, how dare you? Yes, I am for him on the peace stuff. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've also found that Paul bots tend to have the most atrocious spelling. Holy cow.
Yes.
Well, I guess maybe dyslexia figures into that as well.
Maybe that's what Marcus Bachman is singing the opening of Annie Get Your Nug, the dyslexia musical. Oh-wee, confetti. You know what? I could bring confetti every time he's on. If I could. Eric Bollard from Media Matters for America, doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bollard.
Come on, baby.
Eric Bollard.
Let's dive into the right-wing world.
I don't know what that means.
Eric Bollard from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bollard.
Good morning, Eric Bollard.
Good morning.
What a weekend, huh? It was festive. A festive, confetti-filled weekend. Your latest post I love, the distinct mantra you write from the far-right press critics in recent years has centered around the fantastic claim that not only do the media have a liberal bias, but that the corrupted press corps work in unison with the Obama White House at all times, that the press no longer functions independently. Its role is to protect Obama at all costs. The result of the grand media conspiracy, the press has refused to ask Obama tough questions ever.
This came out of the Fox debate, which was very interesting, because apparently Fox won the debate, because Fox, Chris Wallace and the moderators asked the candidates some relatively tough questions. It was sort of funny to watch the press sort of do somersaults that Fox News. I mean, the bar is so low for Fox that if they actually ask a Republican candidate, a question about their record or something uncomfortable, the press then does somersaults and declares Fox News the winner and they are legit and all this stuff. I didn't think the questions were that hard. There was virtually no follow up. I mean, it was like every other debate. Oh, here's a vaguely tough question and do whatever you want with it. I'm not going to follow it up. So I didn't get the sense that Fox was grilling these people in any way. But one of the mantras was, Sean Hannity afterwards, Jonah Goldberg, is, oh my gosh, Obama has never faced questions like this, even when he was running for office or since he's been president. And, I pointed out that, he did. And there was in particular one debate in Philadelphia in 2008 where basically every question asked to him was sort of a gotcha question.
Yeah. Well, I said that on CNN yesterday. Actually, for the first time in my life, defended Newt Gingrich and his reaction to that. I said, listen, if I were him, I would have been startled, too, by actual journalistic questions on Fox News.
It's like, where am I? What's going on here?
Exactly. All right. The other thing I love you have is this graph about what Limbaugh said. We have these right-wingers callers, too, that call. We were just talking about a guy that called in and said, oh, yeah, unemployment's like 6% in Texas. And no. You know, I mean, they throw out these numbers. And you put on Rush Limbaugh attacked Obama for purposely ruining the rosy economy he inherited from President Bush. He said, well, he inherited a AAA credit rating and an unemployment rate of 5.7%. Does anyone doubt this is on purpose?
Right.
Except, of course, as you point out, Obama did not inherit a 5.7 unemployment rate. And the graph is right there in front of you.
But it's funny, some conservatives actually argued he did inherit a 5.7 unemployment rate, because for all of 2008, it was 5.7. So Limbaugh was right.
Right.
Of course, which, A, you don't inherit an unemployment that takes into account the number from 9 months earlier, 10 months earlier. And, B, if you look at the graph, the unemployment rate in 2.8 was going off the chart every month.
Yep, up and up and up. You can see the graph, and it was up getting close to 8% when the president took office.
So I think Obama put the DeLorean in reverse and went back to 2008.
Yes. Yes.
It was a sort of a classic case of just sort of right-wing revisionism. The economy was great until Obama got here.
Yeah, of course. All right, let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing. Oh, Dick Morris. Gosh, I've missed him. On Michelle Bachmann.
She has a wonderful opportunity in this debate because she actually sits in Congress and voted against the debt deal.
Mm-hmm.
And she can say, look
at
this
thing,
because it was so timid and so limited and so fraught with conditionality. The markets crashed. We got our credit downrated.
Yep.
She can really use the events of the last week to show that she was right in voting against the debt deal.
Huh?
Wow. Wait a minute, huh? That's why we got the downgrade.
Michelle Bachmann should be very nervous, because anytime Dick Morris says,
yes, he's wrong.
Candidate X is doing well, candidate X is going to win, candidate X can't lose, they lose.
Yeah.
So if he's saying nice things about Michelle Bachmann and how she's perfectly situated for the upcoming primary, she's in deep trouble.
As I look up briefly from my Dick Morris book about how the presidential race will absolutely be Condi against
Hillary
Clinton.
Yeah.
There's no question about it. In the half-off bin. All right. Rush Limbaugh.
I said, my gosh, does nobody on this panel remember that we're running against Obama? What is this business of these guys trying to tear each other up? And then I figured out that's what Fox wants. Fox wants these people to tear each other up. And I said, why does Fox want these people to tear each other? Because they want approval from the mainstream media.
Because
that's what the mainstream media would do, is tear these people up.
I've never heard
to get them to
get that high before.
But you never see this with Democrats. You never see the Democrats pitted against these. Not like this was.
Yes, that was such a delicate primary between Hillary and Obama, I recall.
Two very interesting things going on here. Limbaugh is aghast the Republicans would disagree with themselves during a primary.
Yes.
That is absolutely not to be
done.
You are not supposed to disagree with other Republicans. That's not what primary voters want. They just want nonstop Obama bashing. And B, this grand conspiracy that Fox News is finally a part of the left-wing conspiracy to do good things for Obama. So Fox News is in on this because they want mainstream media approval. Look, I mean, Limbaugh, of course, couldn't be more wrong. Roger Ailes, Fox News, couldn't care less about the mainstream media. What they wanted to mix it up because they wanted to make good TV. That's all Roger Ailes has ever really cared about, is ratings and good TV, and he got both. And this idea that, you know, Fox News is subtly kowtowing to the press. I mean, Limbaugh's couldn't be further from the truth again.
Yeah, because candidates never fight against each other during primaries. That's the first time this has ever happened. What? Okay. Jonathan Honig? I don't know. O'Reilly.
The left loves to paint corporations, these nefarious shysters who are running roughshod over everyone. But what is a corporation, right? It's not a vegetable. It's not a mineral. It's not an animal. Governor Romney is right. It's people.
It's people. People who need people. That's what it is.
You know, the most interesting thing was, I mean, if you just look at the politics of this and the strategy, the Romney camp, when they made this sort of gaffe that was playing out in the press, they decided they were going to embrace it. They were going to decide, you know, this was a home run for him. This was a defining moment for his campaign. And I'm not sure 3 or 4 days later they still think that's the best idea.
Yeah, I think, yes, please, go ahead, highlight that for us, and we won't even need to make the ads. All right, Sarah Palin on Hannity.
We would be naive to just put our head in the sand and pretend that
through some kind of magical thinking that demise will not happen in this country as we're seeing in other countries if we repeat the mistakes that they made. The mistakes would be continuing to overspend and borrow money that we are sending a bill then to our kids and our grandkids to repay for us, and allowing government overreach to really stifle the entrepreneurial spirit in America.
Blah, blah, blah.
There are not enough of Michelle Bachmann's migraine pills in the world to get me through an entire Sarah Palin soundbite.
Yes. I know, yeah. Right? Not even like an entire interview. Yeah, but look, it was fascinating that she shows up as in Iowa as a media creation, nothing more and nothing less. That's what she's always wanted to be. And there was this sort of initial flash of interest, and of course she attracted a mob and the press, and people flocked to her. But by Sunday afternoon, no one was talking about her.
I know.
Or what she has to say or anything like that.
Yeah.
It's been amazing to watch the arc.
I know. Hey, look at me over here. I'm eating fried butter and a stick, you betcha. It's like, okay. All right. Eric Mueller remains in the sidecar. We continue with the Scotiamore right-wing world 17 minutes after the hour. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-12.
Well, we've all been in that situation. We need to hire someone to work on our home, but you don't know who to trust. That's why I use Angie's List. It is a word-of-mouth resource guide that I can depend on. I have had every kind of disaster, and they all came from either trusting the phone book or even a friend's suggestion. Angie's List has over 1 million members nationwide who submit 40,000 new reviews every month, detailing the project they had done, getting response time, prices, and quality of work, good or bad. And as an Angie's List member, I have access to all of these real reviews in my area. I can find out if a crew was conscious of children or pets, cleaned up after themselves, or even if they botched the job. Angie's List makes hiring the right company a fast and easy process. I love my home. I bet you do, too. Don't improvise. Use Angie's List. And don't wait. Do what I did. Sign up for Angie's List today. Use my promo code. You get 20% off an Angie's List membership. Go to AngiesList.com right now. Enter the promo code Stephanie during the sign-up process, or call 1-888-888-5478 and mention Stephanie. That's AngiesList.com. The promo code is Stephanie.
Stephanie Miller.
I said, are you gonna be my girl?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 22 minutes after the hour. The Rude Pundit coming up after the bottom of the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. Eric Bollert from Media Matters rejoins us for Right Wing World. Okay, Greta Van Susteren to Michael Malley, who is the Democratic Maryland governor.
Yep.
Here she is.
What do you want the government to do?
I want our government to do what we've done in the past.
But like which is what? Do another stimulus bill?
I want a balanced approach.
But we did one February 9. It's been a disaster. I mean, when are we going to plan B?
Greta, it hasn't been a disaster.
It hasn't. If you go across the country, we've got a 9.2% unemployment rate still.
I don't argue with you at all.
People are hurting across the country. It is a lie to say that this has been a success for people.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Because there wasn't enough of a stimulus.
Balance Rick Perry's budget.
Right. So the stimulus passes. Unemployment is what it is. So it's a disaster. It's a failure. Of course, it's just sort of logic 101. What if it hadn't been passed? What if all that money hadn't been pumped in the economy? What if those jobs hadn't been created? So, you know, it's Fox sort of having it both ways.
Yeah.
I don't know. Did they expect that to bring the unemployment down to 4% or something? So it's just sort of rewriting history, creating this as a fact. That the stimulus was a failure, therefore
I think it's fairly easily provable, isn't Eric? That the stimulus created X number of jobs. I mean, you can argue exactly about how many,
But the thing is, the Friedmanites want disasters. It's disaster capitalism, like Naomi Klein was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So they can shrink government.
It's not really debatable that the stimulus didn't create jobs. Of course, it created jobs. It's all been well documented. And when some of those sort of more temporary jobs dried up, everyone noticed it. So, yeah, the jobs were created.
Right. All right. And Glenn Beck.
We're right now looking at a president who is talking about, and let's not mince words here.
Mm-hmm.
He's now considering the federal government becoming a landlord. And renting houses to the American people. That is a redistribution of wealth. That is, that's communal housing.
Wow. The president wants to own the whole monopoly board. He wants the banks and the auto companies, and now he's going to own all our houses?
Pretty sure the government's been in the housing business for about half a century.
Yeah.
This is not a, this specific idea, which I don't even know is going anywhere, might be new, but the idea that the government collects rent, hello.
Yeah.
It's been in government housing for decades. So, Glenn's slightly overreacting there.
Yeah, but no one's watching, so that's okay. All right, Eric Bohler from Media Matters. See you next week.
Okay, bye.
All right, there he goes. Wow, okay, Jim, let's review. Ron Paul fans like to use the C word. Have various suggestions for various things that I could suck.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Sometimes in their defense, it's just on information. They would like me to just suck on the information.
Suck on this.
Yes. They're very literal. They think that I actually think Ron Paul is invisible, which I don't. And here's what else I learned. They are funny.
Oh.
Harlan, subject line, I loved your take on Ron Paul, with a smiley face. See, now he thinks he's luring me into reading it. Then he writes, just kidding, you're a discredited troll. Oh no! He tricked me into reading the email.
They like the name calling, too.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
You have the political insight of a Jersey Shore fan page moderator. Ha! Take that. You are on the wrong side of history, my child. Better straighten up. It's going to be a long year. Sincerely, John Q. Pissed Off Public. He speaks on behalf of the
public.
P.S.
Oh, go on.
Oh, it's all right. P.S. What an ugly cow you are. Inside and out, a sad, pathetic stew of pus masquerading as a human being, really. Hmm. Thank you for the P.S., please.
Because that was completely germane to the topic of Ron Paul, wasn't it?
I had to call him pus. Here's one thing I noticed, though. Ron Paul, a lot of fans. Donald Trump, not so much.
Yeah.
I actually said that's the only thing Donald Trump's ever been right about. Nobody has written me to defend Donald Trump. Anyway, all right. Bob Maddow, Rachel's daddy.
Oh, yeah.
Sends a Borowitz report that he thinks is hilarious. Calling the results of today's Iowa to uphold alarming, Standard & Poor's took the unprecedented action of downgrading Iowa's IQ. While the effects of such extraordinary measure are hard to predict, experts say the IQ downgrade could result in Iowans having difficulty completing sentences or operating a television remote. This downgrade would be very upsetting to Republicans in Iowa, said an S&P spokesman. Fortunately, there's no way they'll understand it. The winner of the straw poll, Representative Michelle Bachmann, gave a rousing victory speech that was simulcast in English across the state. But there may be tough sledding ahead for Bachmann. A new poll shows her losing support to Governor Rick Perry among voters who describe themselves as morons. Governor Perry kicked off his presidential campaign today in South Carolina, unveiling a new stump speech in which he promised to repeal the 20th century. Thank you, Andy Borowitz. And Bob Maddow. All right. Marcia in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Marcia.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
This is the first time I call. I listen to you faithfully every morning.
Thank you.
I happened to catch a little nuance on the network news the other day that said there were only actually 17,000 people who voted in the straw poll.
Mm-hmm.
So, to me, that's not an indication of much of anything.
I know.
And each one of these people had to pay $30 in order to cast a vote. So,
yeah, and pick their favorite entertainment.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This is like an online poll. It has absolutely no bearing on anything ever.
Yeah. Well, that's what Howard Kurtz asked me yesterday. Is it's a media creation? Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
The person who wins it never wins the nomination or the presidency.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, if you listen carefully to what's being said, even on the network news, you can say, oh, my God, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, look at it. One storyline after another, right? John Huntsman. Oh, my God. He came in what, like dead last? Oh,
yeah.
Actually, no, some guy that I didn't even know was in the race came in dead last. Who's
Gary
that
Johnson?
Guy? No, there's another guy that came in dead last in Iowa. I'll have to Google it.
Hmm.
Anyway, I didn't even know. I was like, who the hell's that guy?
No.
John Huntsman came in right, above him. But remember, that was the big, like, oh, my God, Obama has to fear, blah, blah, blah. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, back with Rude Pundit next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
In the first grade, my friend Rosie and I made a pact to marry Bert and Ernie. Then we found out we both wanted Ernie. We didn't speak again until middle school.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use the promo code Stephanie. All right, it's time for his rudeness, everybody.
It's Lee Poppett, the rude pundit.
Yes.
Pundit.
Good morning, your rudeness.
Good morning.
Where do we start with the weekend festivities? I just don't. I mean, Michelle Bachmann winning the gayest picture ever in the history of photography with Marcus Bachmann, arms outstretched with confetti coming down.
Yes, yes, yes. And of course, I'm sure everybody has sent me the Bachmann sausage picture constantly.
Yes, yes.
Just making her husband jealous.
Yes, yes. And I said the only way this could be better is if it were Marcus Bachmann, and then, like magic, it appeared, the Marcus Bachmann and the giant footlong.
Mm-hmm.
That's his game strategy.
And, you know, I love that nobody cares that Ron Paul came in second. You
know, oh, the people that watch me on CNN care.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, do they? Yeah.
Yes. They care about the C word that is apparently me this morning for mentioning that he's unelectable.
Other than being crazy, he's and not believing in stupid things like the gold standard and no income tax and stuff like that. No, he's perfectly reasonable. Actually, isn't it funny that politics have gotten so crazy in the Republican Party that at this point Ron Paul doesn't seem that bad?
Yes. Well, apparently you are anti-liberty because here is Dr. Paul now. Ron Paul.
We are identified with the cause of liberty.
Berg!
Liberty!
Yeah. Well, I am. And I think it's good that just hating Ron Paul makes it that obvious.
By the way, it looks like you've been taking some of the same shrapnel. You write, when Ron Paul is the sanest man in the room, you've got a hell of a lot of problems on your choice of candidates, GOP. On another note, people, please, with Ron Paul... don't write to say how rude pundit's an idiot for not wanting to get with the Paul love. Yeah, that's the one thing I learned. They're very, very vociferous on Paul fans.
And a lot of them will write you and say, yeah, I'm a liberal and I support Ron Paul. And it's like, no. You support Ron Paul because he wants to legalize pot. Okay, let's just bottom line this. You're actually not even paying attention to any of the other stuff he's saying. Legalize pot, go Ron Paul.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So the other big news, obviously, Governor Rick Perry, El Diablo, getting into the race. And you write, God does not want Rick Perry to run for president in your post. Essentially, God has said a big, giant to Texas Governor Rick Perry, despite his desperate attempts to Eddie Haskell his way into the Lord's favor. Perry did use the office of governor to call for prayer back in April to end the epic drought there, and apparently God said
he says no.
No. No.
No, no. I think they had, you know what, God actually teased them with a little bit of rain this week to say, this is what you could have, but psych!
Well, you actually write the drought's so severe that the West Texas town is considering recycling toilet water for its 27,000 residents. And you say now you'd think that for God to forsake a place, they have to drink poop water to survive. The town must be an atheist, devil-worshipping hellscape.
Yeah. And because how many times have they had prayers? They had the response and the call for prayer directly for rain. So either God hates Texas or God hates Rick Perry or you know, the other alternative we cannot talk about that, you know, they're praying to air. But
or as you say, God is furious that Rick Perry is running for president.
Well, that's the thing, is God is sitting there thinking, what we're, and he really wants to undermine Perry because I love the idea that Perry is going to be photographed toasting the Koch brothers with champagne, and meanwhile, they're drinking pee water in Big Spring, Texas.
And I love as we always say, the people running, not only did he want to succeed from the union.
Secede, excuse me.
But, he's anti any kind of government, and apparently he still wants to run that government. Against Social Security, Medicare, I mean, you name it. Here's Rick
we'll Perry. Create the jobs and the progress that's going to be needed to get America working again. And I'll promise you this.
He even sounds like Josh Brolin.
Every day to try to make Washington, D.C. as inconsequential in your life as I can.
Except when I need federal money to bail me out of the stupid things I've done.
Exactly.
Wow, what a drama queen.
Yeah.
I mean, that was just so in there and intense, and it was meaningless. I just love that he's more successfully doing the flip-flop on things than Romney, because he has that over-sincerity thing, whereas Romney is just robo about everything. I can't wait until the really wacky right starts to attack him for things like that their children's health program in Texas that he supported, although he gutted later. He wrote an editorial supporting when he was George Bush's lieutenant governor. It gives health care to undocumented children.
Yeah.
The state of Texas pays for undocumented children and other undocumented workers to have health care.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're right. He will make America just like Texas. Everyone will have a minimum wage job and be drinking poop water. But
Yes, it's something we all have to look forward to.
Yeah. Are they going to? I mean, this is the thing. Like I was saying, it's always a media storyline as to, oh, here's the great new hope of the Republican Party. I mean, are they really going to delve into his record, and what are they going to find if they do?
Right. I mean, they're going to find out. Well, I mean, nobody will care that he executed an innocent guy, and he could have stopped that. Nobody's going to care that he wants to, allow states to drop out of Medicaid and Social Security programs. Nobody's going to care about his environmental record. Nobody's going to care that he called the legislature back for an emergency session so that to force women that are seeking abortions to have sonograms. Nobody's going to care about that because he's intense and charismatic, and he comes across as really caring.
Well, I was saying it is a little eerie. Somebody actually morphed the pictures of George Bush and Rick Perry, and it's a little frightening, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is it just me, or does he look like the devil or like Al Pacino playing the devil in that movie that I can't think of?
The Devil's Advocate.
Yes.
He totally does. And have you seen somebody posted the blog Down with Tyranny, posted these pictures of him from early in his life in a looking strapping in a military uniform with boots and a riding crop?
Oh, dear.
And these are real pictures. These are real pictures. These are not fake pictures. And a picture of him in sort of a preppy sweater with sitting by a fireplace with a collie at his feet.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Okay. Now,
I know you've gotten into trouble.
Yes.
There's the collie at his feet.
Wow.
The collie answered. Sorry.
What's that, Lassie? Where's Root Pundit? Did Root Pundit fall down the well?
Oh,
Lassie.
I'm in Colorado. The coyotes are attacking me.
I have to say, I have never seen, it is amazing we're in 2011, I've never seen such a pack of homophobes in the Republican, Michelle Bachmann lost no time in saying yesterday that she would reinstate Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But
she's not judging people.
Right,
she's
no, right. She said that she doesn't judge them.
Well, that's how she conducts her life. She doesn't ask Marcus, and he doesn't tell.
And
that's
right.
And she's going to appoint judges who will do the judging, but she's not judging.
No. But, I was reading another piece about, and I think Progress, top five examples of Perry's anti-gay agenda. I mean, it really is extreme.
Yeah, it is. Well, almost every single one of them is going to make this election once again about gay rights issues. And isn't that just played out? I mean, is the base that degraded in the Republican Party that this is what they have to do again and again and again? I mean, how many times have we been through the getting elected on the backs of on the backs of homosexuals?
Yeah, I know. I'm like, that again? I mean, that something has happened when Rick Santorum becomes defender of gays
in one of
the debates. Yes.
Only in Iran.
Only in Iran, though.
Yeah, well, because that's Muslims treating them badly, and Muslims don't know how to treat them badly the right way.
Yeah. So, what happens now? I mean, does Rick Perry immediately become the front runner, do you think?
I think Rick Perry's going to be another flavor of the month. Because if you remember, even Pawlenty was a flavor of the month for a little while. I mean, he was sort of a gray,
vanilla flavor.
Bland flavor, yeah.
Yes.
But everybody, every one of these comes out as the hope of the Republican Party. Yeah. And it's a really, I mean, I think he hurts Bachman most, and Romney's just going to robo his way into the nomination. He's going to buy his way into the nomination.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, the Perry crazy will come out, and they will also, I think there's also going to be a successful tarring Perry with the Bush paintbrush that can still hurt him. I mean, why not say you supported you were the lieutenant governor to the guy who did this?
Yeah.
Why didn't that hurt Perry?
Yeah. And before you go, because you are a theater aficionado, being from New York and all, a professor and all that, the gayest picture in the history of photography, the Marcus Bachman with his arms outstretched with confetti coming down, what is it? I'm confusing. Is it another opening, another show? Is it something from La Cage aux Folles? What is it exactly?
I'm going to go with I Feel Pretty.
Pretty. Yeah. Yeah. Who's the pretty girl in the window there? Where?
That's it. Standing there, and just dancing around. You know what? Put a put a frilly dress in front of him.
Yeah.
You've got Natalie Wood in West Side Story.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my God.
Yep. I was thinking maybe something from Gypsy, but no, I think you've done.
He looks more like Mama Rose. He looks like Mama Rose.
That's it. Everything. You're gonna give him an Ethel Merman voice.
Yeah, he's got those big flappy arms.
Roses. Yeah.
He's got those.
I just did my Ethel Merman voice. You missed.
You did. Everything's coming up. Corn dogs.
See, now that was the extra second I left you on. RudePundit.blogspot.com. See you next week, honey. There it goes. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That's the craziest thing I ever heard.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. 50 minutes after the hour, just moments from Mondays with McClurg. The delightful Eve McClurg joins us live in studio in just a bit. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Evelyn in Florida. Hi, Evelyn.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good.
If corporations are people, as Romney and the Supreme Court say, why are they not subject to the alternative minimum tax?
Yeah.
That's a good question. Let's do the Mike and Raleigh salute again, shall we?
We have to make sure that the promises we make in Social Security, Medicaid, and Medicare are promises we can keep. And there are various ways of doing that. One is we can raise taxes on people.
Corporations.
Corporations are people, my friend.
Corporations are people.
We can raise taxes on... Of course they are.
They're the wealthiest people.
Everything corporations earn ultimately goes to people.
In the world.
Twilight Green is people.
Woof, woof.
Woof. Arnold in North Carolina on the corn dog incident.
Yes, ma'am.
Hello,
good
Arnold.
Good morning, Stephanie. How you doing,
good.
Darling? I finally got a copy of that picture, and in my community, it's been photocopied so many times. The lighting is real bad. It makes their corn dog look like it's overdone or something. And I thought it was a picture saying that this woman has joined a new union, the Fraternal Order for HABU. Hook a brother up.
Oh, boy. All right. Yeah, you made a good point, Chris.
What?
That is, which handler let her...
Let her and Marcus do that? Because you know these people are scripted with an inch of their life.
Right, in the wake of... And, of course, one of the topics for us on CNN yesterday morning is this, you know, is this outrageous, this Newsweek cover, and this is unfair using a photo. It's just like, oh, no, this would have been... Then a lot of people mocked up the Newsweek cover of that.
Yeah.
If you want to see an unflattering
Newsweek
photo...
Should put that on the next issue's cover.
Yeah. Tina Brown just suck on that, Michelle. Yeah. suck on this cover. You think the last one was sexist? Don't eat a corn dog like that. Oh, did you even see? There's someone got another angle of a side shot.
Yeah.
Oh,
oh
dear.
Really?
Oh, you know what? You don't want to see that. Yeah.
Why can't these people just eat a pretzel or something? You know, some. They could have done, but no, her handlers let her get a picture taken like that.
I think it was all Marcus's idea.
Uh-huh.
I've had some corn dogs.
Whew! Yeah, that is, yikes. Looks like no gag reflex to me. Yowza. All right. So, in
well,
honor
a
of the
feature in porn, I think,
hardcore porn
thing,
shots of the Iowa State Fair.
Oh, yeah, here they are.
It's a pervert stack. Oh, how's that, Jim? How's that look sideways?
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Wow.
All right. All right, I'm doing a pervert stack in honor of a man says he gets aroused when he goes to a Walmart. Well, who doesn't? Really?
You see those gigantic pants that would fit a tractor.
Mm-hmm. Louisiana man arrested yesterday for driving around a Walmart parking lot with his penis exposed. Hmm. Explained to cops that he gets aroused when visiting the retail giant.
It's a thing with him.
Was he at the Iowa straw poll?
I don't know why. I just sort of knew his name would be Travis, and it is.
That's
it. It is. It is Travis. Travis Keene, 28.
He's a thank you.
Mm-hmm. Was collared after a witness reported to police that a man driving a Ford Taurus drove past him with his penis exposed. The witness who tailed the Ford as it drove around a Walmart parking lot in Monroe told cops when he the suspect saw a female in the parking lot, he would stop and watch them. Keene reportedly stated he did have his penis out. Because of past experiences he had at Walmart, Keene stated when he comes to Walmart, he gets aroused. And one
is
can only imagine, well,
if
you've seen the people of Walmart, those pictures, I mean, who does that not make hot? The attractive folks in those pictures. Have you seen people in Walmart?
The people of Walmart, yeah, it's a blog that posts pictures of people.
Okay, this is a...
More perfect stack?
Yes! Spring Hill, Tennessee, a man police say was naked and engaged in lewd acts with a doll. Nearest elementary school has been charged with a... Not near an elementary school. Just go somewhere else with your doll.
What kind of doll? Is it like a Barbie doll or is it like one of those inflatable varieties?
Yeah, doesn't say.
Okay.
Doesn't say. Right. They found the... I don't know. I thought this was like a made-up story. They found a 56-year-old Daniel Tirole beneath a bridge.
Tirole.
He's a Tirole. I'm like, oh, is that made up?
Wow.
He's a Tirole was beneath the bridge.
Oh.
Whacking off with the doll.
Don't use
Rubbing one out.
Rubbing one out
Excuse
is
me.
The preferred term, thank
Excuse
you.
Me. Excuse me. Pardon me. Apologize.
Or eating a corn dog.
Excuse me. He's the one rubbing one out with a doll near elementary school, and I'm disgusting.
I beg your pardon.
Oh, boy. All right. Speaking of disgusting, this is not pervert stack. This is just gross stack. Okay. A Florida man was arrested this week after customers at a Cape Coral McDonald's restaurant complained that he was standing by an entryway popping pimples on his back.
No!
I just think I'm going to buy it.
Okay.
Wow.
Ugh. All right. So. And now back to something equally disgusting. Rick Perry jumping into the presidential race this weekend.
America's standing in the world is in peril. Not only because of disastrous economic policies, but from the incoherent muddle that they call foreign policy. You know, our president has insulted our friends. And he's encouraged our enemies. Thumbing his nose at traditional allies like Israel.
Israel?
He seeks to dictate new borders for the Middle East. And the oldest democracy there, Israel.
Can you pronounce it correctly, please?
By our Israel friends.
Wow. Okay. And the
Israelites.
Uh-huh. Okay.
He is an abject failure in his constitutional duty to protect our borders in the United States.
Blah, 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 and finally...
There's Mexicans and Tejas.
His foreign policy seems to be based on alienating our traditional allies while basing our domestic agenda on importing those failed Western European social values. You know, we don't need a president who apologizes for America. We need a president who protects and projects those values.
Okay.
Well, if there were any more Mexicans in Tejas, we'd have to eat Tex-Mex food. And I ain't gonna do that.
Yeah, why do they leave out? They put too many syllables in Jesus and not enough in Israel.
Was born in Israel.
Israel.
I didn't know it was a two-syllable word.
I don't know.
Who knew?
Wow. In an August 11th, the Washington Times column, Jeffrey Kuhner calls President Obama a campus radical who's inflicting severe, almost irreparable damage on the country. He went on to call Obama the most arrogant, self-absorbed, self-obsessed president in the U.S. He encouraged Americans to forge a mass grassroots movement in order to drive him from office, unless he asked them to resign.
Oh, he asked him to resign?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Please and thank you. I'm sure he'll get on that right away.
Yes. All right. 58 minutes after the hour. Edie McClurg next. Mondays with McClurg as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 6 minutes after the hour. Tomorrow, Dr. Sanjay Gupta from CNN, and also Tuesdays with Aisha Tyler, the well-known sexy liberal, who is coming to Detroit with Mama on Saturday to the Detroit Opera House. Tickets are going fast. Go to sexyliberal.com, sexyliberal on Facebook. Follow us, sexyliberal on Twitter. And not only will a really big name be at the Detroit show, we will also have boogity boogity cheese t-shirts with us. I want to put on my boogity. Mike and Molly. All right. And it's Mondays. You know what that means.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
With McClurg.
Monday, Monday.
Sportos, motorheads, geeks, sluts, bloods, wastoids, dweebies, dickheads. They all adore
it. Edie McClurg.
Good morning, Edie McClurg.
Oops. Am I on now?
Yeah, you're on. Right. Now you're on.
I thought, they were just taunting me with these new headphones.
Yes, our fancy new headphones. What a festive weekend it was. It was like a comedy sketch all weekend. Michelle Bachmann wins the Iowa straw poll. Yay.
Yay. She said yay.
Did you see the gayest picture in the history of photography? Her husband is standing behind her with and you would know because you are a theater, professional, whether it is from Gypsy, from La Cage aux Folles, from, I don't know.
Folle.
Cage aux Folles. Anyway, did you see it? Confetti, it just was...
It was pretty good.
Yeah.
But I had spent a lot of the weekend at an event for gay rights in Portland.
Portland, as in Oregon.
Yes, and...
City by the Bay!
Yes.
Fred Armisen from Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
And Portlandia, the TV show.
Oh, right.
I had gone up last season and done an episode with him about the mayor being missing. And we actually had the real mayor play with me as, the mayor's assistant. So he was on there. And it was a huge... 200 people sit-down dinner on a beautiful farm, and all of the food was raised on the farm that we ate at the dinner. And it was all about, getting out the vote and, being strong. And
a farm-raised dinner sounds so Portlandia. It sounds like something that they would have fun on Portlandia.
And the wine was also made from the vineyard there, of course, with no sulfates or any of those things in it.
And I'm guessing some of the animals on that farm? Gay. Yeah. Homosexuality exists in every species. Just saying.
It was, and then the next morning, of course, to hear Michelle talking about, she was on the morning talk shows, and I was listening to her, and the host said, you're saying that that gay people are not citizens or shouldn't be citizens.
Yeah.
And
what country is Marcus moving to then?
Yeah, and it's like, oh, how about all those people in New York who just got married?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And you're saying that they don't count?
No, I mean, they are so... September 20th, actually, Don't Ask, Don't Tell is going to be formally repealed after 18 years. And this is, I mean, you're exactly right. There she is on CNN. They're regressives. She said that she would immediately... she said Don't Ask, Don't Tell has worked very well. I would be in consultation with commanders, but yes, I would reinstate the ban. That's how, I mean, she also, she said it'd be six U.S. states, obviously, as you just said, now allow gay couples to marry. Bachman said judges must refrain from legislating from the bench.
Excuse me, I think that's the way it's always been. There's also, you know, as well as the people voting and saying, yes, we want this, it has to be codified. The host on the morning TV said,
right.
You know, well, what about, you know, the same-sex marriage in New York? Is that illegal? And she says, I believe marriage should be between a man and a woman.
And that's a woman what and a beard. And
come on, Jim Louise. They played the clip yesterday when I was on CNN of one of them asking her about, you know, would you submit... You know, because she's from that, you know, version of Christianity says submit to your husband. So they asked her, when you're president, will you submit to your husband? And I swear, the first of all, it's just this, like, blank. kind of this Jan Brewer, like.
Because she is the husband and he's the wife in the family.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, she submits to his will on, you know, like pantsuits and various fashion.
Oh, yeah. Things. Polyester is awful.
Excuse me, I asked for winter white. This is clearly bone.
How many corn dogs do you have to get mauve in this department store?
Now, I think it might have been that it was the butter, that, you know, they had the deep-fried butter.
That's
and I
what
do not
saying.
Understand
like
that.
Yeah.
It's just like, okay, we're going to take oil.
How could we
and put it in oil, wrap it in dough.
Wrap
and,
it in fat and dough.
Yes.
And then
how
fry
could we
it?
More quickly fat. Clog an artery? What would be the quickest way?
That's the way. Yeah.
Just shove a corn dog right in there.
Okay. Jason in Illinois, and the other big story, Rick Perry getting into the race this weekend. Hello, Jason.
Hey, Steph. Why has nobody talked about the fact that the same guy who talked about seceding from the Union went to the first state to secede during the Civil War to declare his presidency?
Yeah. Well, perhaps it was not an accident. By the way, here's another fun fact I did not know. Speaking of eerie George Bush-like comparisons, Rick Perry, he was a yell leader. He was a cheerleader.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
In a little sweater with a big letter on it?
Yes.
And, oh, boy.
Yeah. Okay.
And I believe Josh Brolin's going to play him in the movie because he looks more like him than he does W.
This is nothing but good news for Josh Brolin, however this all turns out. Michelle Bachman also, obviously making a lot of news this weekend. She says she does not see the American people backing away from support for the Tea Party. Although in poll after poll, the Tea Party's support is, you know. She said, let's say what the Tea Party stands for. It stands for the fact that we're taxed enough already. We are at historic low levels of taxation. We should not spend more money than we're taking in. And third, we should act within the Constitution. That's a pretty mainstream agenda that most Democrats agree with.
But which parts of the Constitution?
She denied the Tea Party movement is losing national momentum. She said, I'm not seeing it at all. Right, Stan.
Well, you have your clack running around with you, of course.
God. No, I mean, all the polls are showing the more people are aware of what the Tea Party actually is and what they stand for, the less support. Yes, exactly. Exactly. All right. Rick Santorum, he's trying to get some, he actually said the Republican Party can't be just about tax cuts. What?
Huh?
He says he will never back away from his conservative social agenda. He doesn't want to, you know, his gay bashing to be lost in all the other more prominent gay bashers. He said to suggest as a Republican Party that we can be a party about just tax cuts and spending cuts and not about strong families, strong faith communities. You
abortion.
Know? Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right. These are not so fun facts, but these are Rick Perry, as you know, he got in a little bit of trouble, Edie. He stirred a controversy with various Christian groups by flip-flopping on whether or not gay marriage should be legal because they have their whole states' rights thing. So he said something that sounded states' rightsy. that sounded vaguely almost tolerant, which you cannot do in Republican circles. So I think Progress has compiled Perry's top five examples of Perry's anti-gay agenda. Number one, he has come down fiercely against gay marriage, both in Texas and nationally. Gay marriage is not fine with me, he told you know, Tony Perkins, jumped that guy.
No, mother, blood, no!
Norman, get out of the South. Give someone else a chance.
Not
what are you
bad.
Doing in there?
Family research.
It was much scarier.
Mm-hmm.
than
contrary to his state's rights rhetoric on issues like health care and education mandates, he's in favor of a federal amendment defining marriage as between a man and a woman. While serving as governor, he pushed for a constitutional ban on same-sex marriage in Texas. After voters approved the amendment, he signed it symbolically at a Christian school, declaring now gay marriage is beyond the reach of activist judges.
Huh.
See, they can't. Equal rights.
Judges
yes.
are bad.
Yes. Number two, he supports a Texas law that criminalizes sodomy, even though it has been unconstitutional since 2003. Yikes.
Well, that should be a shock to Michelle Bachmann.
Yes. Yes.
Apparently he's into it.
Excuse me? Okay. Number three, Perry.
Depends how you define it.
Perry criticized President Obama for signing hate crimes legislation in 2010. When he was running against Kay Bailey Hutchinson, his campaign conducted a series of robocalls calling out Obama for making homosexuality a protected class. So you should have the right to, you know, beat on gay people if you like. Number four, he's cultivating relationships with anti-gay hate groups. As has been widely reported, the American Family Association, which the Southern Poverty Law Center has designated an anti-gay hate group, organized and funded in large measure his August 6th prayer rally thing. Oh, wasn't that supposed to be nonpartisan? Oh. Number five, and if you don't agree with him, Perry thinks you should live elsewhere. When asked by a local NBC reporter for his response to the gay veterans protesting the new constitutional ban on same-sex marriage, he retorted, Texans made a decision about marriage, and there's a state that has more lenient views than Texas. Maybe that's a better place for them to live.
Oh.
So scat, all y'all veterans. Okay, that's Rick Perry's little record there. Okay, let's go to John in Los Angeles on Marcus Bachmann. Hello, John.
Yes, I'm just curious. How does continuing to out a person who claims not to be gay, how does that help the cause of somebody who, if you suspect, is gay?
How am I outing him?
Well, it's the snark. It's the callers, I guess, that keep claiming with the glitter and all of the different things. What that says is if you suspect somebody may be gay, even if they say, gay, but they... you know, display tendencies of appearance or whatever you judge it on, that it's
no,
okay.
What we're judging is the hypocrisy of a virulently anti-gay Christian congresswoman.
The hypocrisy of continuing to call somebody out as out of who's not out.
John,
I think
almost
that's hypocrisy.
Everybody, I guess, I don't even know what to say in public. I mean, in the comedy world, is there anybody that has...
That's easy to say
right.
It's under the guise of comedy. That's the same thing to say, you're very fat and I can make fun of you because I'm a comedian.
We're not making fun of him being gay. We're obviously very pro-gay rights on this show.
How are
we outing him?
Oh,
dear God. He's like Richard Simmons on gay. Crack gay, for God's sakes.
You've outed Richard Simmons. How
damn
dare you?
Damn you. What's wrong with me?
Richard Simmons is gay?
Okay, let's review. I'm sorry. See, now I've stepped
into
the game.
You're a bastard person.
Now I've enraged not only Ron Paul fans, okay, let's review.
Tell you why I can't put up with you people, because you're bastard people.
Okay, let's review. What we're making fun of is the hypocrisy of a virulently anti-gay Christian small government congresswoman married to a clearly flamboyantly gay man taking government funds to do dangerous reparative therapy
and
gay people.
And, of course,
they're Christian.
Ted Haggard, the Crystal Methodist, who was railing against, we know homosexuality is evil, it's in the Bible.
What is up with me, Chris? I'm stepping in it left and right. Your Twitter feed, my Twitter exploded this weekend.
Yeah, it did.
Oh, I was named, it was a good thing, I was named top 7 Sunday TV moments by somebody?
The Daily Beast.
The Daily Beast. Thank you, Daily Beast. But I somehow, I learned something, EDD. Ron Paul fans like to use the C word.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Did you get some bad mail?
Yes. I said he is unelectable. Just I wasn't expressing a...
He's electable by people with multiple personality disorder because they're
yes, and
two
all,
completely different guys.
Jimmy, you're right. I stand corrected. If all of the personalities of all of Ron Paul's supporters could all vote as separate people,
right,
then he is electable, and I apologize for anything I said to the contrary. Oops, there goes my Twitter feed again. 19 minutes after the hour. Back more Mondays with McClurg on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Now, what is this mess?
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
We were leaderless there for a moment, and then we all freaked.
And nobody noticed.
I thought you were running out for a corn dog or something.
No, I forgot to. I printed my latest Ron Paul hate mail. From
hot off the presses.
Wit, yes, thank you. Wit writes, your comments on CNN. Okay, you keep pretending Ron Paul doesn't exist, and I'll keep pretending you're not a sleazy scumbag. You stupid.
Oh, that hurt so much.
You're the stupid head one.
Gotcha.
J'accuse. All right. Let's see. Oh, Sonny writes, Steph, am I the only one that remembers this? It was a couple years ago. I seem to recall Governor Perry having an organized prayer rally to bring rain. Needless to say, there was no resulting rain, at least not until Obama came to Texas. So maybe God wants Barack Obama to be president. Just saying. Regina in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Regina.
Hi, Steph. How are you?
Hi. Good. Go ahead.
I just have a question. Have you guys noticed that all the Republican candidates, their signs are blue? Normally, the Republican signs are red, but I noticed they're all blue. Does that mean they don't want to be identified as Republicans? Or they want to be
psyops. Yep. Ooh, look, it's yes, we're for the people. Sure we are.
Yeah, the other thing is I wanted to say was Michelle Bachmann is always talking about getting people, getting government out of your lives, and she's not involved with government. She was IRS. She's a government employee now, and she's also had 23 foster children, and you get government money for that.
Yep. Yes, she's taking government money for farm subsidies. They take government money for their Christian ex-gay, pray the gay away therapy that's ineffective and dangerous. Yeah.
She had foster children?
Yes.
Yes, 23. And you get government money for that monthly for having foster children.
Yeah.
So all of this hypocrisy that she's talking about of government is so not true.
Yes. Yes. I it's hard to, you know, sometimes you can't get to the second level of hypocrisy when you get to, when you start with the anti-gay stuff she's married too. Okay. All right.
She had a must-read list that she was touting.
Really?
Yes.
What must we read?
Well, one was...
Please do tell.
A Robert E. Lee book about slave owners.
Yeah.
It was all pro-slavery.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Wow.
And there were under-radar wooing of the religious in Iowa.
And it wasn't actually pro... Well, yeah, I guess it was pro-slavery. It was really talking about how the bond between the slaves and their owners was really quite touching when you really look at it from a different way.
Yeah, he loves me.
Yes. Okay. Oh, look, everybody. It's Jan and Amherst up at Transit. From Mama's hometown of Lakeport. Hi, Jan.
Yeah, before I get onto my talk, I heard your little ad when I was waiting for your sexy liberal tour. Who's trying to shut you down, Steph?
Oh, heavens. Where do you want me to start?
They are legion.
Someone tried to bribe our tour director. We have been kept out of...
He'll take his answer off the air.
Shut you down?
Okay, John, would you like to have me talk for a minute? We have they tried to bribe our tour director to stop booking the tour. We have been kept out of theater after theater who have conservative boards in different cities. Where else do I stop? They hacked our Facebook, they hacked our Twitter page. Yeah, they have been scalping tickets for $500 a piece.
Steph, it's really not telling me what I asked.
All right, well, guess what? We're out of time. Okay. Too bad for you.
She just told you five things, five ways that they were trying to shut.
Oh, all right. Wow. Yeah. Well, he showed me. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Well, I figured, you know, because the weatherman said it was cloudy with a chance of bitchy.
Tom Schaefer wishes Peggy Schaefer a wonderful 30th anniversary, reminds her of their Michigan honeymoon where he took her to paradise, Mackinac Island, and, of course, Sheboygan.
Yay!
That's our hourly sponsor. Isn't that cute? This is why we say Sheboygan, eh?
Sheboygan.
Okay. Oh, Jeff writes, Steph, I wonder if Rick Perry knows that his GM plant in Texas is one of several the wicked federal government is investing in, an SUV factory. Huh. I bet he's very happy about that. You know, he used the stimulus to balance his budget.
I guess we'll have to send all SUVs to Israel.
Mm. And he does. Oh, he also went on record saying he doesn't think the auto rescue saved any jobs. Okay. Interesting.
I also believe the world is flat.
Sure. Okay. Whitney in Louisiana on Rick Perry. Hello, Whitney.
Hey. I wanted to find out. I've been trying to ignore the man because he's so scary. Has he made any malpropisms the way Bush did?
I mean, they
sound so alike.
I know. No, it's an arrogant, smirky governor of Texas that thinks God wants him to be president. How has that ever gone wrong?
They must have taken Texas elocution lessons or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Does he say nuclear?
He says Israel.
Nuclear.
Israel. He pronounces.
Yeah, I heard
Israel's
that.
Israel's got
that.
Nuclear weapons.
Yeah. Boy. Boy, oh boy. Yeah, we'll see.
Is it prejudiced of me to not want?
Just kidding. Go ahead.
Another president with that kind of accent.
Yes, that's a little prejudice, but it's more the stupidity.
It reminds me of, you know, the folks that came up out of the Ozarks to work at the BOP plant in Kansas City. And it's an old prejudice of mine, I guess.
I can't stand that picture of him shooting a gun in the air, because that's wise. That's a good idea.
There are some very
That
very,
always ends well.
There are some very smart people from the South, some fine universities in the South.
Wonderful.
However, there are stupid people like George W. Bush and Rick Perry.
Yes. Thank you. All right.
Yeah, we can make any accent sound dumb. If you got a lateral A, sometimes you can sound like a real jerk.
Well, this is Syracuse when I was at Syracuse. In
as we hurriedly insult every accent so as not to call attention to just one. All right. Celebrity Stack, I think you send me these stories, Chris, to feel better about your own life.
Mine?
Because of people that work for crazier bitches than me.
Yes.
Oh.
For instance, Paula Abdul. Delisted.
She's special.
Think about that, Chris.
Yeah,
think about it.
I know. I'm lucky.
D-listed writing, Paula is forever your crazy bitch, and working for her is probably not unlike babysitting a psychotic toddler who's never been spanked and will only go into its calm, submissive state if you stick a pacifier made of Vicodin in its mouth. I bet if you walked into any padded room and asked who's worked for Paula Abdul, the one patient in there would stop chewing on a pillow tile to raise her hand a dozen times, one for each personality that was created to deal with Paula's crazy ass. This is the fun facts from U.S. Weekly. I need to get on some
Absolutely.
Sort of... That's what I said. What did I say?
U.S.
U.S.
Us. That's different. Yeah. I was thinking U.S. News and World Report. No.
Yes, you were, because you were very rough on the political
end. No. I need to start having... You know what? What do I require of you two? Nothing. Nothing.
Elocution lessons?
Paula Abdul's... Her workers, they must, number one, each assistant must carry and use a tape recorder at all times because she doesn't trust her own conversations.
Wow.
Mm. Well, that's prescient.
That's why you get a radio show. Number two, she also makes them check the TiVo for any mention of her and put it on a DVD. I did that. Actually, this is sounding eerily like me.
Uh-oh.
You do hear that.
Number three, Abdul team members should also prepare to go through her email and respond to family and friends as the star herself.
Oh, I don't have time for my relatives, but I don't want them to know it.
You make Rebecca do that.
Hi, Mom.
My mother to stop pestering me. Number four, the singer also needs constant reminders that she is a warrior, a survivor, and a gift.
Oh.
Now, see, that is the new thing I need to buy. You know what? You should.
I'm a gift.
I want to be addressed like that every morning.
Yes.
Why, good morning, Miss Miller. You are a warrior, a survivor, and a gift.
A gift.
In your case, that keeps on giving.
Wow.
Every day. Nixon in Oregon, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hello,
just wanted to say, if nobody else has already said it, read my lips, no new Texans.
Yay! Wee, it's a referring joke. Yay! All right, Edie, you probably haven't had to do this because you are hilarious in each and every movie you're in. Tom Hanks reimbursed a couple who didn't like his latest movie, Larry Crown.
Yeah.
He was filling up his car at a gas station, and when he was approached by a man who said that he was not impressed by the film, the Hollywood star apologized by taking $25 from his wallet and saying, "Gee, I'm really sorry you were disappointed. How about letting me refund your ticket money?"
I think he's going to have to start hiring somebody to fill his gas tank for him, because a lot of people are going to be coming up to him wanting their money back.
By the way, any of all y'all that buy the podcast want your money back? Forget it.
Computer says no.
Forget it. Forget it. Forget it. Suck it.
It just shows Tagoya that two really good actors can be in a dog. Because somehow they say, this will,
nobody knows anything.
Edie, how does that happen? I mean, seriously, when you're making it, because you sit through those movies and go, what? Wasn't somebody going, this really sucks?
I don't know. I did one movie with...
Do you realize something sucks when you're in it or no?
I knew that was... It was the remake of Flubber.
Oh, who would have seen that coming?
I was the secretary.
You've chosen Flubber.
I'm every secretary.
I was going to say, you're the secretary in every movie.
Yes. So I was... And I knew when we were doing that
you're
was
every woman.
Really
sad.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And you would expect that to be Chekhov. I mean, when you went into that.
Oh, Robin.
Yeah.
And Marsha Gay Harden.
Right.
Oh, two.
Yeah, very good actors.
Chris McDonald. Wonderful actors. Right. Very funny. Script not so.
When you're in a play, you know when it's tanking. The audience,
You just sit there and look cross-eyed at you and fall asleep.
But when you're on a movie, there's so many different parts thrown together out of sequence. And
I just left my house this weekend for the first time. I saw a movie. I saw Crazy Stupid Love.
What is that?
And I thought it kind of sucked. Maybe I just I don't remember how to watch movies.
They should have stopped with Crazy Stupid, I guess.
Steve Carell.
Steve Carell. It was kind of good, but the storyline was a little unbelievable. It was a little, I was kind of like, I don't, what? All right. It was a little depressing.
He's Mr. Popular now, so they offer everything to him.
I heard The Help is really good.
I haven't seen that.
Oh, I have to see that soon.
I
did what you usually are doing, going out on your tour, fly Saturday morning, come home late Sunday night, and it's just like, I am not totally with it, and I now absolutely understand.
See, and I can't
even
tell. You seem completely delightful, as always.
Right.
You're able to fake it better than
you.
I am. Mm-hmm. Or Michelle Bachmann is with a sausage. All right. Jim, she just looked pleased to see something like that. She looked really pleased, like she had not seen something like that in quite some time.
I just saw that picture. That's unfortunate. Yes. Never let them take your picture.
I dare Tina Brown to put that on the cover of Newsweek.
Yeah.
Stuck on this picture, Bachmann.
That's
a bad picture.
You thought the first one was bad.
You know what I think it is? It's like, this is what her eyes are doing. It's like, check it out. Which is almost as funny as the face that Marcus is making.
Someone's got to superimpose your face on a Deep Throat poster in the 70s.
I think Marcus is he's kind of, what is he doing exactly,
he's
Jimmy?
He's biting the tip off of
he's
it,
biting
which
it, but
I think is part of, and he's squinting as he
does
it.
Yeah, like he's never, he's like, oh, I don't, this is so unfamiliar
I
to me, I've never.
I think it's part of the degaying procedure in his little clinic.
Uh-huh. Okay.
For which he receives Medicare and Medicaid funds.
Which they should rethink now, having seen that picture.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, it's, you got to, bite the head right off the snake sometimes. You can't, All right. Joy Behar got married to her boyfriend of 29 years. All those crazy kids rushing into stuff.
Now he's going to take half her dough.
Yeah, I don't know what that's all about. And Tina Fey had a baby girl on Wednesday.
Good for her. She's a hot actress, writer, and mom. How she does all that.
Yeah, exactly. Tina Fey would have, more kids and Sarah Palin, Michelle Bachmann, a little less. That's all I'm saying. She's a little more smart and funny in the world. She said she did it because she said, who will my daughter's family be when my husband and I are dead from stress-induced cankers? She must have a sibling. I love her. Her book is hilarious. Posse Pants. Andrea in Miami, Florida. Hello, Andrea.
Good morning, Mama.
Good morning, baby.
So I have to first say I'm super duper excited. I'm a huge fan, and I can't believe that you guys are finally, hopefully announcing soon that you guys are coming to Catherine's Piracy Places.
What? We're coming where? To Florida? I hadn't heard that. I'll have to go home and check my paper calendar and see if I have it.
Please check the paper calendar and make sure you put it in pen.
Okay. Boy, that was the worst tease ever. Thank you, Andrea. We'll see you soon. Yeah, sexy liberal, just mind, you never know. Somebody's been looking at my paper calendar. Detroit is this Saturday, August 20th. Then we got Asheville, North Carolina, September 24th.
Is your mom down there?
My mom is in Charlotte, North Carolina.
She's very close, though.
I'm hoping she's going to come.
I told her,
I said, you know, 8 o'clock, maybe your bedtime. Maybe you just come up for the day, and then you don't need to see the show. You don't mind. You won't enjoy that.
Now, would you change your demeanor if mom is in the audience?
No.
At all? You might even be more outrageous.
I'd make it even worse.
Okay.
That's how I got this way in the first place.
Oh, that's true.
I'm rebelling. And we got Seattle coming up, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Austin, and Buffalo. And yes, I believe we will have some more announcements.
Will I be allowed to come to the Los Angeles show?
Yeah, will you be allowed to come?
Of course
not. Have security designed to keep you out. All right,
big burly man, please. Big burly.
45 minutes after the hour. Back with the waning moments of Mondays with McClurg on the Stephanie Miller Show.
We've got to keep up our strength for the fight against evil!
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Minutes after the hour, Edie McClurg, chair dancing with an inch of her life. She looks like Marcus Bachman to the 10th power because it's so festive. Michelle Bachman won the Iowa Super Bowl.
We'll go to all 50 states and campaign because we do intend to make Barack Obama a one-term president. This was the down payment. There's a long way to go, and we need a lot of help, and we'll keep working, and we'll get her done.
Get her done! And Marcus was, wow, that was the gayest picture in the history of photography. There was confetti, and he was his arms up.
I'm super! Oh, he's so happy. Thanks for asking. All things considered, I couldn't be better. I'm a fan. I'm feeling super. No, nothing bugs me. Everything is super when you're, don't you think I look cute in this hat?
Yes, you do. Bill in Warsaw writes, I wish I could take credit for this, but on the Stephanie Miller Facebook page, someone said the victory pose looked like Evita Peron singing Don't Cry for Me in Minnesota. And Sherry is a scamp. She sent the Twin Newsweek covers. There's Michelle Bachman won the Queen of Rage, and then there's one of Marcus, Raging Queen. And
All right.
Come on now.
You will.
All right. Let's return to Bender, shall we, ladies and gentlemen? Let's meet our political strategist, David Bender.
Yay.
David Bender.
This means a lot, doesn't it, Bender?
David Bender.
Oh, David Bender. What a festive weekend.
Did you have corn dogs for breakfast?
Corn dogs for everyone. I'm buying a rag for the house.
Corn dogs for everybody.
Hoo-ah!
And this is an early return to Bender. These are early returns. This just been. I've got a political question for Edie McClurg.
Yes, go ahead.
Now that Republican field has been completed, I'm just wondering which Rick Perry is. Is he a murderhead, a geek, a dweeb?
Yes
to all of the above.
Yes.
Where does he? What slot does Rick Perry fill? Do we know?
He's, I would say, the, you know,
heads. The bleep head.
Yeah.
I was trying to figure out how to do that.
Yeah, see, and I only, because you don't have my box. Excuse me? What?
No!
David Bender.
Not today.
I was on CNN yesterday, basically ticking off the Ron Paul fans. But I was saying that doesn't matter who wins the Iowa caucus. They never win the nomination or the presidency, do they?
They do sometimes. It happens. It is not a definite predictor, but it certainly with this Republican field, one of those two, Michelle Bachman and Rick Perry, who, by the way, even though in the straw poll he wasn't on the ballot, He beat Mitt Romney. With write-ins. So that tells you what this field is. And Rick Perry or Michelle Bachmann could win Iowa. And that could be the fight for the nomination right there.
So, but you know, I was reading a piece today. I forget Mediaite, but why people that want, you know, are cheering for President Obama's reelection should want Perry, because they were, you know, they do the state by state thing that you guys always do, but that, you know, Romney is more electable than Perry is. That we should be rooting for a Rick Perry candidacy. What do you think?
You know, I'm always hesitant. That was the same logic that said, please bring on Ronald Reagan for the nomination. He was absolutely unelectable in a general election. He was far too conservative to the American people. And you know what? It's a zero-sum game, Steph, when it's one person standing next to another. First of all, you cannot get whiter than Rick Perry.
Right.
And that he is, ask K. Bailey Hutchison. The guy is a barracuda in a campaign. He has never lost an election. So you're not just talking about a resume. It's not on paper how someone looks. It's how they campaign mano a mano, or even mano a womano. And I will tell you right now, this guy is tough. And for Democrats who think bring him on because Romney is a better general election candidate, they're looking at the wrong tea leaves.
Hasn't that been like, you know, it sort of shows you, I think, the weakness of the Republican field is the media, you know, it's like they keep searching for, you know, who's the new hope, the new bold, fresh, you know, courageous, refreshing choice. Julie in Seattle writes, Mama, one of those New York Times reasonable conservatives was still as of Sunday pining for Governor Bold Fresh of New Jersey to waddle into the fray. Seriously, this will go on until next summer. Then Palin will bop in and announce, now you have to pick me. Did you know there's 5 GOP debates in the next 60 days? Not enough brown liquor in the world. I mean, you know, remember everybody said John Huntsman was who the White House feared the most. Then Tim Pawlenty was the one, right?
Yeah, Tim Pawlenty. Don't cry for me, Tim Pawlenty. He's now positioned, of course, to be somebody's running mate except Michelle Bachmann.
Right.
But having trashed her. The truth, though, is this field is now pretty much set. I am of the belief that Sarah Palin is just going to continue to play it. She's going to drive up and park a bus outside the debates and not come in. We're going to watch that spectacle. But leaving Palin aside, I think this is a field going to get tougher going forward. And one of these people, and I think it's Rick Perry, and you remember you and I talked about this months ago, if he decided to get in, he is going to be the guy to beat. And I think, in fact, by the time Florida comes around, Rick Perry, like John McCain, who locked up the nomination in Florida, I think Rick Perry will as well.
You really think that this is not going to be, that's the media storyline now is, you know, Perry versus Romney, but you really think he's going to beat Romney?
I do. I absolutely do. There are too many people in the Republican Party, just like there are too many people in the Democratic Party, who don't trust Mitt Romney. They don't believe he holds any core convictions. His biggest value is his assets. He can afford to stay in the race until he is driven out by losing elections. He has the money. They just did an estimate of his worth. What is it, $250 million? He can afford to stay in, but so can Rick Perry. And there are more Rick Perry voters in Republican primaries than there are Mitt Romney voters.
By the way, so since I was on CNN yesterday, I did learn one thing, that Ron Paul fans are very fond of the C word, particularly in relation to me. But am I? Well, you know that's true. But my point
is that the Constitution? Is that the C word they haven't read?
Yeah, that's it.
Are they? Am I correct in saying that that's the only thing Donald Trump has been right about, that he is unelectable, or am I missing something out of the Iowa caucus?
That Ron Paul is unelectable?
Yes.
In a strange, weird way, if Ron Paul were to decide tomorrow to get out of the Republican race and run as an independent, he would be pulling from both parties. As much as I dislike a lot of what Ron Paul stands for, and it's craziness, a lot of his stuff, he's the only guy in there saying we've got to get out of these wars.
Yeah, no,
and
that's true.
That is appealing to both parties, and no one, neither the president nor the likely Republican nominee, is going to say that.
Yeah, yeah. No, I you're right. That I'm all for him on that. I was mostly criticized for wearing peace earrings while criticizing Ron Paul. So it was most. I need my own Marcus Bachman.
You need your own Marcus Bachman. I'm on the way.
All right. My house husband will be home tomorrow. See you then, honey.
Love you.
All right, love you too. Edie McClurg, you were delightful despite the fact that you've been jetting about the country. Yeah. I'm sorry. Wake her up. It's time to go. All right. Tomorrow, Dr. Sanjay Gupta, and Tuesdays with Aisha Tyler. Thank you, Edie.
Bye-bye.
We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.